Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield, and I am a co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor, Katie Atkinson. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well and very excited to join the Pop Shop podcast permanently.
Permanently. She is no longer just a fill-in. She's here permanently. The fabulous Katie is the podcast's new co-host, as we said goodbye to Jason Lipschitz last week. Very sad, but big, bright, fabulous future ahead of us.
Onward and upward. And as we told Jason last week, he can never come back.
Well, yeah.
It's my seat now.
I fully expect Jason to come back and be a guest on the Pop Shop, because that would be only fitting.
Yes, it would be amazing.
So the Billboard Pop Shop podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts, including the Billboard 200 and, of course, the Billboard Hot 100. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart statistics and stories, and of course, guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. On this week's show, we'll be chatting about Janet Jackson's number one debut on the Billboard 200 albums chart and why it's historic. Our picks for our favorite Janet songs, and trust me, this is actually really hard to do. The Hills is tops again on the Billboard Hot 100, but Drake's Hotline Bling is dialing up a possible threat for number one. Oh, the puns. And then, of course, there's Justin Bieber's nude photo scandal.
Oh, man.
Plus, we play our not-so-famous fishbowl Q&A game with Selena Gomez. The pop star released her new album, Revival, last Friday. And she's currently Billboard Magazine's cover star. So make sure to stay tuned for that later on in the show. But first, some housekeeping notes. If you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And make sure to give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, make sure that you follow the Billboard Mothership at Billboard on Twitter. Plus, you can tweet me and Katie at Keith_Caulfield or K. Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcast. Every week, Jason was the one who did all that. Now I'm saying it. I'm like, good.
And Keith's done. Like, it's been a good Pop Shop podcast.
I'm out. I'm done.
He's out of breath.
How was your weekend, by the way,
Keith? Oh, it was so great. I actually had a lot of concert moments this weekend. I went to Don Henley on Friday night at the Forum.
Did you dance?
Of all I wanted to do was dance.
Did you get down? Did you boogie?
I definitely did. It was a really fun, like, all over the map show. And it was like half his new country album. So it was like a lot of steel guitar, a lot of amazing female twang. Harmonizing twang, but then also interspersed with all of his solo 80s hits, which was just super fun. It was like, it would just go back and forth. And I thought that would be a little jarring, but it actually, the band was so good and his voice is still so good that the whole thing just worked and it was awesome. Review up now on Billboard.com if you'd like to read more about it.
If you would like the longer read of what we just heard. Did he like sort of reinvent his hits for the show?
He didn't, and I thought he might. I thought he might give him a country feel, especially since he's got the steel guitar player up there and all the backup female country singers and everything. But he sang them as is. He even covered Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. So he took it real 80s, like, with his songs and with that song. And he didn't touch a thing. The arrangements were identical.
So when you heard Dirty Laundry, it was the...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Which, like, the place went, like, mad when that song came out, because it was the first upbeat solo hit of his that he played. And he did it, like, mid-set, which I thought was interesting, because that could close a show. That's right. Just, like, a big... huge song. He did it mid-set and people lost their minds. Like, after all the, like, slow, quiet country that came on and, like, everybody got up and started dancing. And
I can imagine
super fun
when, like, the Boys of Summer came on.
Oh, that started the encore.
Yes,
they started the encore with Boys of Summer, and then he ended it with All She Wants to Do Is Dance. Oh, it was so good.
Yay. And then so that was the first of two shows. I did not see any shows this weekend. I didn't. Sorry, but you said that you saw someone that we'll talk about in a second.
Yeah.
Because it makes more sense in the flow of what we're talking about. So we'll get to the other concert that you saw.
Okay, we'll keep it under wraps. If you'd like to find out which show I
saw
last night.
Stay tuned.
Don't leave.
Yeah, so first, the big news I think this week is Janet Jackson's Unbreakable return to the charts. Her new album, Unbreakable, debuts at number one on the Billboard 200 chart. Debuts with 116,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending October 8th, according to Nielsen Music. Of that sum, 109,000 were in pure album sales.
That's a big week.
Pretty all right week.
Yeah.
I mean, it's certainly bigger than some other, you know, sort of pop divas have pulled off. And, you know, in this day and age, that's pretty all right.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's also kind of impressive that this is her seventh number one album.
Mm-hmm.
Among women, the only ladies who have more number one albums are Barbra Streisand with 10 number ones and Madonna with 8.
That's, yeah, good company.
Also, what makes this historic, as we wrote on Billboard.com, because, you know, we throw that word around a lot, like, oh, this is a history-making, because we like to do that in charts.
We love chart stats.
Breaking a record, history-making. we like to really trump it. But, I mean, I kind of felt like this was a big week because now she is one of only three artists to have had number one albums in the past four decades. And when I say past four decades, I mean including the one that we're currently in. So the tens,
the aughts,
the O's, the zero zeros, the 90s, and the 80s. And you already know who the other two are because I've already told you.
We've been talking about it all week.
Right. So she joins Bruce Springsteen and Barbra Streisand. They're the only two acts that have had number ones in the last four decades. There are artists that you think that, hasn't so-and-so had enough? Like, a lot of people assume Madonna would have been one of them, but she had number ones in the 80s, the 2000s, and the 2010s. She didn't have a single number one in the 1990s.
Which is shocking.
She had five albums that peaked at number two.
Oh, it's so crazy.
Which is, I was just like so, as a fan in the 90s, before I worked at Billboard, I was like so frustrated that she kept peaking at number two.
Yeah.
Like, started off with, I think it was I'm Breathless, the Dick Tracy thing, number two. I think she was stuck behind, I want to say like maybe like MC Hammer, I think at the time. And then The Immaculate Collection, stuck at number two, behind Vanilla Ice maybe, or MC Hammer again.
Oh my god.
I think,
but I remember these times well.
Erotica, stuck at number... Well, that would have been number three, actually, or number two. I think it was behind Garth Brooks. Ray of Light, 1998, stuck behind Titanic soundtrack.
Yeah.
The Evita soundtrack, which is effectively a Madonna album, was stuck behind No Doubt's Tragic Kingdom.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, there's one I'm missing. Anyway.
Just hearing that The Immaculate Collection never was number one is, like, so crazy.
I know.
Especially to see what it's sold now. Like, it's just insane.
It is. But now we digress into Madonna talk.
Oh, Jason used to reel you in from this, didn't he? This would be my new role.
He was never that successful at doing it, really, unfortunately. I think it's also interesting that actually, have you listened to the Janet album, by the way?
No, I've only heard the two singles, the Missy Elliott one and the first single.
Burn It Up and No Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to most of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And it really works as an album.
Yeah.
Like, it's clearly...
Okay, I'll give it a listen.
It's clearly like a whole work. It's not super upbeat. It's not, like, super, like...
Well, I like the kind of vibe of No Sleep. Is it kind of that vibe?
Well, it's not that sleepy.
Okay.
It's not like... Yeah. I listen to it.
Okay.
I really like the I think it's called the Great Forever.
Okay.
I think it's the name of it. Sorry, Janet fans, don't get upset with me. And I think Unbreakable is a great track. What's I think super interesting about this is that it hit number one and she did not do a single press interview.
Wow.
Like, she has not done squat.
We need to get her on the Pop Shop podcast.
Yeah.
We have an extra chair here, Janet, just waiting for you.
Janet. You could do your chair dance from Miss You Much in said chair. But I just think it's interesting how she's just like, you know what? I'm going to let the music speak. And
it spoke.
It spoke. And people bought it. And there you go. And she also picked a good week to come out. Because if she had come out, I think, the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was a lot more challenging to hit the charts.
It's been some busy weeks between the Grammy deadline and then ramping up into, like, November and Christmas. And, yeah.
This is a pretty light week on the chart. On the top 10, only two albums, I believe, debut in the top 10. Her and Tamar Braxton.
Okay.
Tamar Braxton debuts at number 5 with Calling All Lovers, I believe, is the name of the album. oh, I should know that, shouldn't I? I manage that shirt. That's a Johnny Carson voice. So I thought it'd be fun if we talked about our favorite Janet Jackson songs. I want to say, full disclosure, I love too many Janet songs to be able to effectively rank them.
Okay.
So my list is a representative list.
It is not a 1, 2, 3 in order.
I mean, kind of can you do that way, but it's just, there are just too many, like, quality Janet songs. But
yeah.
I feel like it's still a worthy discussion to have.
Yes.
And I like doing lists.
Yes.
So why don't we take turns?
Okay.
What is your number three favorite Janet song?
My number three is Got Till It's Gone. I love A Tribe Called Quest. I love Q-Tip. And so this song was always just a favorite because I always loved Q-Tip's voice.
And Joni Mitchell.
And then Joni Mitchell is sampled in it, which is so strange. Like, the fact that they actually kept her voice in it and sampled her voice, you know, the chorus, is also really interesting. The beat's really smooth and cool. It's just like a really cool song. And I just always love this one. I think it's, you know, she was definitely early on in the incorporating hip hop into her music. Like, that was not happening enough in pop, and now it's everywhere.
Right.
And so Janet was an early, you know, front runner in that. So it just kind of represents that as well.
My number three pick is actually Control.
Control.
I think it sums up the entire Control album and its concept, the idea of independence and how she's coming into herself and she's breaking free from her family and taking charge of her own life. I think it kind of sums up the entire vibe of the album and it cues the listener to where she's going. And, you know, other songs like Nasty and What Have You Done For Me Lately from that album certainly kind of build on that idea, because they were all, I was trying to think, I'm like, which one should I pick? I don't know. So it like Control kind of represents that entire era.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to pick which one.
So you're
better.
Basically saying I'm representing the Control era and would like to bring all those songs with it under that umbrella for your number three choice.
Well, not quite. Kind of. There may be a theme that you'll see here in a second.
Okay.
What's your number two track?
My number two is Go Deep.
Which we talked about the other day.
Yes.
I was humming it and you're like, I love that song.
Yes. That is my ultimate like party song. If you put that on, I cannot not dance. And it has the weirdest, funkiest beat. I love the beat on
it's
it.
Very springy.
Oh my god! Yeah, it's got the little.
Like, I wonder,
Yeah, I don't even know what's like making like those sounds.
It's like, I wonder if it's like, I should know this. It has to be a sample of some like old school hip hop track.
Yeah, totally. I mean, is it though? Maybe it is. Maybe I should have done a little research on that. But It also instantly makes me think of that video where she just like, it's like an apartment party.
Yeah.
And I just love that video too. And I've always thought that was like the coolest Janet song. And like I said, I can't not dance to it. And that gets me every time.
I think there's a washing machine that overflows in the video.
Yes, there is.
There is.
Foam party.
Foam party. Yes. My number two is If from the Janet album.
That is such a good song.
It's dun dun da 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 da.
That's straight up number four on my list.
It's Janet's. I mean, basically Janet from like 86 to like 95 was, as a friend of mine David Russell would say, her imperial period, where literally everything she did was a hit.
Yeah,
it's just whatever it was.
Yep.
And on top of that, every song came with an incredible music video.
Yes.
And so for me, I can't hear If without seeing the video.
See, I feel like that's the theme of like all of these, because she was such a smart artist. Like, she thought of everything from like start to finish. You know, when she was writing a song, she was probably envisioning what the video was going to look like, you know, or the dance to it or whatever.
That video where, and you know, the hand.
I used to know how to do that dance.
And it's just, I don't know. And like if you need to watch, if you haven't seen it, her performance of That's the Way Love Goes and If on the 1993 MTV Video Music Awards, where she closes the show. It's so good, because just go watch it. Find it on YouTube or Vimeo. Watch it and be prepared to like have goosebumps, because like halfway through, like I watch it now still and I'm just like, my God, they just don't do it like this on the VMAs no more. And also Janet was the first concert I ever went to.
Oh, really? Where?
At the Forum.
Oh, the Fabulous Forum.
Fabulous Forum, before it became Fabulous. or it was just maybe, like, kind of Fabulous, but not quite the Fabulous.
Fab. It was Fab.
Back in, like, 1994 or something. Oh, so it was amazing. In support of the Janet album. And yeah, anyway, so that's my number two pick. What's your number one pick, Katie?
You just mentioned my number one. My number one is That's the Way Love Goes. This is such a good song. I love it so much. I love how it starts with the spoken word, like a moth to a flame burnt by the fire. I love it. And then that is also just another great beat. And once again, it is the seeing the video in your head, which is like the world's coolest party. Jennifer Lopez is there at the cool party because she was one of Janet's backup dancers then. So it's super fun to go back and watch that video because you can see some really early J-Lo. And I guess it was like post Fly Girl, pre like Selena, J-Lo.
Yeah. There was that brief shining moment where for one music video,
yeah,
J-Lo was. But anyway, J-Lo is wonderful, but
so,
Janet.
So, obviously, this is just an amazing song. And one of the things that I love, or that made me love it even more, was when I was like a dorky teenager loving NSYNC. And during the Janet Icon special, they had NSYNC recreate that video and do this like 5-part harmony version of That's the Way Love Goes. And it's like 90 seconds long. It's not even the whole song. I had that on my like first edition iPod, the 90-second like NSYNC cover of the song. It's just such a fantastic song. And so like just represents that era of Janet to me, the early 90s.
My number one pick is actually Miss You Much, which was the first single from Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation 1814 album in 1989. It's another one of those moments where you watch the video, or you hear the song and I think of the video.
Yeah.
I just can't disassociate that.
Yeah.
You just see, like, it's all black and white, and there's strobe lights, and everyone is wearing black and white, and it was that Janet as den mother / cool round the way girl.
Yes.
Like where she had like her posse of dancers and she's like, you know, no boo boo bo or whatever, like when she's chatting with her dancers and they're like giving her lip and she's like, no, no, no. And she's like, oh, wait a second. And then like, boom, Miss You Much happens. You're like, oh, hell, what the heck? And she would continue to build upon that where it's like her and her family of dancers. You know, as we see that in that That's the Way Love Goes, uh-huh, video, where she has that repartee between them.
Totally.
She carries that through, and you get the sense of sort of, like, family and fun with her dancers. I think that all kind of started probably with, really, the Control videos, which were choreographed by Paula Abdul. But I think it really kind of established itself with Miss You Much. And I think she was able to sort of perfectly and effortlessly blend, you know, a socially conscious viewpoint with that entire album with state-of-the-art pop music.
Yeah.
You know, so you have tracks like Rhythm Nation, but you also have tracks like Miss You Much, which is not about, like, you know, like necessarily a socially conscious message. It's just about a relationship. But
it's just fun.
It's
upbeat.
Just fun. And it's just like when she kicks into that at the beginning of the song where it's like, woo! And like she cuts into that woo and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. So, yeah, I have a hard time picking Janet.
I feel like we really like represented a lot of Janet eras there, though.
And you know, and I feel bad because there's wonderful Janet tracks from like the past like 15 years.
Oh, totally.
That I completely like, just, but it's like it's too many. Ask me what my favorite Madonna songs are.
Yeah,
that's hard.
Yeah, yeah,
there's too darn many.
Yes, too many good ones.
Too darn hot. So that was Billboard 200, Janet's Ruling the World. Over on the Hot 100, The Hills is still number one by The Weeknd. Believe it or not, now The Hills has spent more weeks at number one than The Weeknd's own Can't Feel My Face.
That's surprising.
I know.
Can't Feel My Face is just such a pop smash, and then The Hills is like so...
Not.
It's so different.
Well, I mean, clearly it's a pop smash. It's number one on the Billboard.
Yeah.
100 for the fourth week. Can't Feel My Face was number one for 3 weeks. It could hold on for another week at the top, though Drake's Hotline Bling is making great gains. It jumps 3 to 2.
I really love that song.
and still, Hotline Bling isn't even from an album yet.
Yeah.
But there should be a music video soon, which could help it. But what could also help The Hills is that The Weeknd performed on Saturday Night Live this past weekend, and he dropped out of the sky 2 new remixes of The Hills, including one featuring Eminem and one featuring Nicki Minaj.
Who also performed with The Weeknd on Saturday.
What'd you think of the performance?
I thought it was amazing, and it totally surprised me. I record SNL. I watch it Sunday morning every week. And, you know, I hadn't even, like, I was, like, still in a haze, like, drinking my coffee, had not checked my work email yet, knew nothing about what had gone down.
What happened in the world of pop last night?
And so Nicki pops up, and I'm like, oh, my God, here's, like, Nicki Minaj, like, and I didn't know about it, and it happened last night. That's crazy. And, yeah, I thought it was fantastic, and I thought it was super fun to have her out there, because, you know, he's a great performer, but, like, having another person to work off is good.
To play off
of. Yeah.
And also, they retained... The whole vibe of the song is still there. They didn't change. Like, if you listen to the remixes that are I know they're on iTunes. They might be on streaming services as well.
It's on Spotify too. The two remixes.
It's essentially the same song, except they put in like a rap.
Yeah,
bridge.
She throws some ad libs in there too. When you start listening to her remix, it's like you hear her. Yeah.
Oh, at the end.
Right, no, right at the beginning, right off the bat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that those remixes. Depending on how they sell and stream this week, can certainly help keep the Hills at number one.
And Eminem's is totally changes up the song.
I really
like it. Yeah, no, it's just like a lot of Eminem.
I haven't actually listened to the Eminem.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, I'll represent Detroit here. I love Eminem.
So we know what, you know, like, is his, like, the, like, a particularly dark verse?
No, well, a little bit, but it's kind of like, remember that?
I mean, the whole Hills
remember
song
when he did
dark.
A remix of Airplanes, that B.O.B. and Hayley Williams song, where he, like, straight up did his own, like, verse, like, with the melody and everything? He kind of does that here, too. Like, his verse is, like, done in the melody of, like, one of the Weeknd's verses. He kind of takes over like a verse as opposed to just adding a rap part.
I see.
Yeah. Hmm. It's really good.
Wow. I have no way to segue to this.
Well, you know, Amy Schumer hosted the episode on Saturday night of SNL.
Yeah.
With The Weeknd. And then I happened to see her. We teased the people with what.
Oh, right. Thank you.
With the concert I saw this weekend.
Thank you for keeping me on track.
So she was in New York, you know, hosting a show. Going to an after party until the wee hours of the morning, and then Sunday night in Irvine, California, just like 45 minutes to an hour south of LA, she was co-headlining a comedy festival with Aziz Ansari, and I was there. And she seemed like she'd had a long night before, but it was a very fun show. Still,
were you expecting that she was
going to
be there?
We knew that she was going to be there, but I felt like there was a strong chance she would not show up after that. You know, and she actually made mention of that. She's like, people gave her an out to like not come because Aziz was there too, and there was a bunch of other comedians, John Mulaney and Anthony Jeselnik, and there were other name comedians there. And if she hadn't come, like. You know, it still would have been a good bill.
Right.
But she's like, I knew I was going to come here. But she just like made lots of jokes about how hungover she was, et cetera, which is, you know, her thing anyway.
It's part of her humor.
Yeah. So
it's part of her charm.
Yeah. It was great.
Did she go on at least the beginning of the show so that she can go to?
No, actually, she was the second to last. She was her and then Aziz to finish off the night. But they weren't there that late. I think she probably was on at like 8:30 or 9. She got a fine night's sleep.
Did she tell any secrets from the set?
No. No, she like literally, that's what I was really hoping for, that we'd get some Nicki stories maybe. Nothing.
I'm sure Amy Schumer probably has a lot of things to say about our next topic, Justin Bieber.
Oh.
I know this is old news by now, but we haven't yet talked about it on the show.
Yeah. Oh, Keith.
So Justin Bieber.
SNL also had a field day with this on Saturday.
Did they?
Oh, yes. It was in like three different sections of the show.
So what happened was briefly or unbriefly.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, God. It's just so. Ugh. There were pictures that someone took of Justin Bieber who was vacationing in Bora Bora at a hotel, and he was nude on his hotel patio, but out in the open, like on the water. So, like, if you're, like, on a boat, say, passing by, you would have seen him. But clearly this person who took the pictures probably had, like, a massive telephoto lens to, like, take a picture. Honestly, when I saw that the picture, because there was no way to avoid seeing these pictures.
I still have not seen the uncensored.
Oh okay. Well,
I also don't go on Tumblr a lot,
I'm like, if you're on Twitter or Tumblr just for like a hot second, and like.
Somehow I have managed to not see them yet.
Well, you know, I think that's okay.
I'm respecting Justin's privacy.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't trying to disrespect it.
No.
It just sort of happened.
And I think that was the case for a lot of people.
And I feel bad.
Yeah, but, okay. You know, so we spoke to a bunch of legal experts on the phone.
We wrote a story talking about like the real, like, is this. Yeah. Katie's about to tell you what happened.
Well, so Beaver's team sent a cease and desist letter to the New York Daily News that originally posted these photos. And that was kind of the only reaction or comment that his team has made to this point.
Right.
And so we spoke to legal experts like, okay, do they have any leg to stand on with these cease and desists? And they basically said no. Like they came out and said, if you are a celebrity and you know that you're in a place where people can see you, if they take a photo of you and they're not trespassing, you know, then that photo can be taken and disseminated.
What if you're not a celebrity and I'm on a court?
Well, that I think
it's just
that,
like me hanging
I think
out.
That's a different story because they kept bringing up the fact that he's a public figure makes it newsworthy. But then on the other side of that, I really appreciated Troye Sivan's tweet about this where he was like, dude, like, you know, stop looking at these. Like, this isn't cool. And I kind of feel like I see both sides of it. It's like, maybe legally they're fine, but at the same time, like, doesn't make it great to, like, look at this guy's junk on the internet. So, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, what have we learned from this?
There's no expectation of privacy ever for a celebrity.
You have no privacy, even if you're on, like, some quasi-secluded, like, you know, hotel.
Deserted island.
In the middle of the South Pacific.
Yeah.
Not deserted island. It's Bora Bora. He was at a resort in Bora Bora. Or if he wasn't at a resort, he was clearly at a place where, like, you know, someone on a boat or another house across the lake or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what? Anyway, I mean,
my takeaway from this, though, is that I don't think this is going to affect him or his career in any way.
So.
It's like people are debating, like, the things that we're just talking about, like whether it's cool, whether he should have privacy, whether, you know, it should be legal, etc. But I don't think anyone's like, oh, this totally changes my opinion of Justin Bieber.
You know, I think because of the situation, it's situational. Like, it's just, it's like him caught in a moment where he wasn't trying to, like, it's like he didn't, like, it'd been different if it was like, oh, a sex tape leaked.
Right.
You know, with like him and some.
If it was an exhibitionist thing or something, but it's not. It was just like him thinking he was not seen.
Right.
That's the end of the story.
Right. I'm like, you know, whatever. Because, so whatever. I think what we learned from this is that, you know, Justin Bieber is going to be just fine.
Yes.
And his album will probably perform quite well.
Yes.
His album comes out, by the way, on November 13th. It's called Purpose. The same day as One Direction's new album, by the way. Did you see that they revealed their track list?
I did via Snapchat.
Snapchat.
They're so new and edgy.
Keeping it all, you know, it's you know, got to keep up with the kids
these
days.
This track list isn't for the parents. It's just for the kids.
Yeah, it's just for the kids. It includes a song called What a Feeling.
Are we really hoping for the Flashdance cover?
I mean, I think it'd be great.
They've had a lot of like reminiscent 80s classic rock kind of vibes. That would not be totally out of character.
I mean, they've referenced like Def Leppard and like the Clash.
Clash.
Why can't
totally.
They reference Irene Cara?
I'm with you on this.
Come on. Speaking of new albums, heading for number one next week, there's actually two albums that could possibly bump Janet Jackson out from the top slot on the Billboard 200. It could be a showdown, actually, between Selena Gomez's new revival and The Game's documentary 2.
Yeah.
Selena's album could do maybe around 100,000 overall equivalent album units, and The Game might be somewhere in the 90 range. Those are kind of early numbers.
Yeah.
These are according to industry forecasters. Not named Keith. This is, I call up people and people tell me numbers. So don't blame me. I'm just the messenger. But yeah, I think, and The Game's album kind of didn't quite drop out of the sky, but he only announced it like a week or two.
He had some leaks a couple weeks ago because he has a big song with Kanye West on the album.
He has like a boatload of people.
So
on
many
two
collaborations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so a couple songs leaked, and one of them was the Kanye collaboration, and one of them was where he dissed Lupe Fiasco and got into like a weird mini feud with Lupe Fiasco last week. So
yeah.
Oh, the game.
The documentary too actually is part of it. It's like a two-part album. He calls it a double album because he actually split the album into two. So there's a documentary 2 that came out last Friday, and then this Friday will be the documentary 2.5. which is effectively the second disc of the album. So it's two separate albums, individual purchases. So he could have, you know, sort of back-to-back, high-charting, top-debuting albums. So, yeah, it's the game. The game, he's winning.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, it's bad. Speaking of Selena Gomez, it's time for our Selena Gomez interview.
Yay. I love Selena Gomez so much. She's such a sweetheart, as you'll hear.
She seems really nice.
Yes.
She seems like a nice girl.
Yes.
We spoke to Selena actually on the set of her Billboard cover photo shoot a while back.
The cover story is out now.
You can buy the magazine online and you can read the cover story and see behind the scenes video and all the beautiful photos. She takes a lot of great photos. She's quite lovely, I have to say, in person. We played our famed or not so famed Fishbowl Q&A game, where we asked her some fun questions, some of which are music related, some not so much. And at one point she called me a kindred spirit after it was discovered that we were at the same concert on the same night. I'll let you listen to what concert that might have been. So here's our chat with Selena Gomez. Cause I just wanna look good for you, I just wanna look good for you. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Selena Gomez.
Yay!
I'm super excited because you're going to play our fishbowl question game.
Very excited.
No pressure. Okay. I have a fishbowl in front of me. Well, sort of a half fishbowl. It's a glass fishbowl.
It's very elegant.
Very elegant, very glamorous. Mm-hmm. It's bedazzled and bejeweled. Not really. Full of questions that I came up with out of my own head. So if you don't like them, you can blame me. I am handing the questions.
Selena.
And we're going to go through as many as we can within 5 minutes.
What's your favorite sound? Let's see.
What is your favorite sound?
Ooh, water.
Water.
Like, do you hear that?
There's water outside where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Like waterfalls.
Yeah.
It's very soothing.
Yeah.
There we go. Next one. These don't require a lot of, you know, effort.
What musician would you love to collaborate with? Drake.
Drake.
He has not hit me up.
Come on.
He does not want to work with me. I'm just kidding.
I'm sure he does.
I love him.
He's a busy guy. You're busy. It's hard to, you know, connect.
What's your favorite emoji?
Are you much of an emoji person?
Yeah, but I use the same ones. So it's usually just like the smiley face. Or the, like, side
eye.
Yeah, the side eye. Like,
shady side eye face, that one.
Yeah.
Next up.
What chore do you hate doing? I hate cleaning my bathroom. I literally hate it. It's the worst. Just because I'm so disorganized and everything has to be kind of visible for me, which is not good. That means I want everything out and I have to look at all of
my
stuff.
That's not good in the bathroom to have everything. No.
I know.
It's
just bad.
Next up.
And there's usually clothes or food in there too.
Food in the bathroom?
Yeah, it's really bad.
We're not going
to
go there.
What was your first concert you went to? Britney Spears.
Really?
Yes.
Which tour do you remember?
It was the first Baby One More Time thing.
That one.
Yeah.
Have you seen her in Vegas, by the way?
Yeah.
Wait, were you there opening
night? I was there
night?
Opening
So
night.
Was I. Actually, I was.
Aww. Anyway. Well, kindred spirits.
Yeah, totally.
What's your favorite album?
In general, not necessarily yours, just, you know, anyone's album.
I think I love Christina Aguilera Stripped. That's
Dirty.
Still, I love it. I love all of it. That's fine, for sure.
There you go.
If you could magically beam yourself to anywhere in the world, even just for a few minutes, where would you go? Costa Rica.
Costa Rica. Have you been there before?
Nope.
No. Okay.
Then we're like, nope.
Well, yeah.
I love it.
These don't require follow-ups necessarily.
What are some of your favorite TV shows? I love Friends. I love Will and Grace. I love...
The classic NBC must-see TV lineup, basically.
Yes, basically. I love Scandal. I like Empire.
Do you binge watch a lot of TV?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And I'm obsessed with the Amy Schumer show, of course.
Yes.
So.
Did you see Trainwreck?
Twice.
Oh my God.
So good. What's the best compliment you've received? I always, always appreciate people who compliment my heart and how I handle people and kids, because that means more to me than anything. And I feel like my mom would be way prouder of me to hear that than anything else.
You have great hair. Yeah.
Star Wars or Star Trek? I can't. I don't even know. Like, I haven't seen any of them.
Well, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out at the end of this year. So,
okay. Well, you know,
maybe,
there you go.
Maybe they
little
can convert
plug.
You.
Little
sponsored
plug.
By Lucasfilm.
What's your favorite pizza topping? Mushroom and jalapeno.
No meat?
Nope.
No pepperoni? Do you eat meat, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm from Texas.
All right.
Okay.
We're almost
do
done.
You play any instruments? If no, which would you like to learn?
And I should know this, but I don't know if you actually play any instruments.
Yeah, I play piano.
Oh, okay.
And I love the piano. I wish I was better at it, but I'm going to play it on the next tour, which I'm really stoked about because I've never actually been able to do that.
So on tour, you'll be playing a little bit of piano?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And last one.
Oh.
One more.
Oh, snap.
And it's the best one. I'm saying that just because it's the last one.
What was the last picture you took on your phone? Well, you'll be shocked to hear it was a selfie.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's just funny because it's like, that's the one thing that phones, it's incredible to have camera like all the time because I film everything. I take pictures all the time. But then you look at your camera roll and it's usually a lot of selfies.
It's like 13 in a row,
yeah,
slightly different lighting.
And I'll look and I'll be like, when did I turn into that person? I full on have like chapters of selfies in my camera.
But it's nice to see
roll.
The metamorphosis over time. I was reading actually like an editorial that someone wrote saying, you know, stop being upset with me because I take selfies. Because it's just like how they're, you know, keeping track of how they've evolved and changed over life.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with that then.
And there we go. Wasn't
that
fun?
That was so fun.
All right, Selena Gomez, thank you so much.
Thank
Your new album, Revival, is out now.
Yay.
Go get it.
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm so sick of that same old love. That shit, it tears me up.
I'm so sick of that same old love. My body's headed. Thanks so much to Selena Gomez for making time to speak with us. We really appreciated that. Make sure to check out her new album, Revival, which is out now. Now.
Now.
Just very forceful. this is so weird. I'm like, hey, you know what time it is, Katie?
What time is it, Keith?
It's time for my chart stat of the week.
Yeah! Woo!
So this week in 1979, Michael Jackson hit number one with Don't Stop Till You Get Enough.
Oh, such a good song.
You know, I feel like, you know, the power is the... You know,
woo!
This was actually not his first number one solo single, though.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
I did not know that, and I'm scared that you're going to ask me what was right
now.
Oh,
no. We are playing this game, and it's the game of name all of Michael Jackson's number one singles.
All of them?
Okay. Well, that might be a long show.
Well, so I am curious about the first one. Is it Rock With You?
That came after Don't Stop.
Oh, really? Oh, man.
So that was a number one.
Okay.
So you've got two out of his 13 number ones. You only have 11 more to go.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get the one prior to Don't Stop.
I'll give you a hint. It was in 1972.
Whoa.
While he was still he was still in the Jackson 5. At this point, it was the Jacksons in 1979. But back in 1972, it was still the Jackson 5. He just had solo stuff on the side.
I don't know if I can distinguish between what was Jackson 5 and what was Michael solo back then.
Well, I'll just tell you, it's Ben.
Oh, Ben. The,
you know, the love song about the rat.
Yes.
The two of us need no more.
He was that young when that came out? Wow.
Yeah. He was super young.
Wow.
Well,
okay, so 80s. I feel like 80s are easier. Thriller?
Nope.
Bad?
Yes.
Billie Jean?
Yep.
Beat It?
Yep.
All right, so where are we now?
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've got 6.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'll just tell you the rest. Say, Say, Say with Paul McCartney.
Oh, sure, yeah, which a new version just came out of that.
New version just came out with previously unheard vocals. Mm-hmm. You should check that out. It's on iTunes. It's on Paul McCartney's reissue of, I forget which album it was from, either Tug of War or Pipes of Peace, one of the two. I Just Can't Stop Loving You with Syeda Garrett. The Way You Make Me Feel.
Oh, good song.
Man in the Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty Diana. No. Dirty Diana. Black or White. And then You Are Not Alone was his final number one
wow.
single. And that was also the first single to ever debut at number one.
Oh.
On 100.
Wow.
There you go. So your chart stat of the week this week is about how Michael Jackson got his second number one single on the Hot 100 back in 1979, but also an excuse for us to talk about all things Michael Jackson.
Of course, always.
Because, you know, I just, you know, come on. Why
I think
not?
He's the king of pop.
I hear he's the king of pop. Some might say. So that's it. That's it.
That's it.
That's, well, I... Is that enough?
I guess.
Doesn't have to be. Is anything else? Did I miss something? Is there
I think
else you
missed nothing.
About?
I think this is an exhaustive episode of Pop Shop Podcast. Yeah. Not exhausting, exhaustive.
Well, we'll be back next week as usual. Do you have any parting words, Katie?
This is a great first episode. Thank you so much for having me, Pop Shop listeners.
Yay. Let's go out on... let's go out on Don't Stop Till You Get Enough by Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.